So I'm here this morning with my good friend Catherine Alexander from The Art of Leadership, which is a business consultancy concerning, I'm going to say, sustainability and corporate responsibility. And I think this is one of the most important topics facing us today, insofar as we live in a time where there's an enormous amount of pressure on all of us to figure out how is a population of 7 billion, soon to become 10 billion, going to share a small planet in a sensitive and decent way. And certainly, looking at the world from the standpoint of our jobs, in other words, how do we create sustenance, this is an extremely important thing. And it seems to me, when you look at what's going on, for instance, in the world of energy, a subject I happen to know something about because of my authorship in renewable energy. You know, where is change coming from? I may have told you, Catherine, that I've met Ed Rendell, the ex-governor of Pennsylvania, several times. And he's emphatic on this. He's a great public speaker, by the way. And he says, you know, if you're looking for change on this thing, just don't look to Washington, because it'll never happen there. And the reason is that the oil companies essentially own Congress. They raise funds such that representatives and senators of their choice get to play. And it happens 7 days a week. It never stops. And then when he delivers this message, he goes, it never stops. He's very emphatic about that. So he goes, if you're looking to Washington as a solution to all this, you know, you're an idiot. But if you're looking outside of Washington, there's a lot of reason for hope. And one of them, he points to, is the corporate world, which is really starting to get this. In other words, that there's more to success in corporate life than profit. And in particular, purpose and people matter too. So and that, of course, is where you're all about. Why don't we talk a little bit more about that and what you do in terms of moving this along, in terms of, I wouldn't say diverting people's attention from profit, but getting people to understand that there's more to success than profit.
Well, and the other part of profit is not just that there's more to success than just profit. It's that profit really comes in lots of different ways. You know, the old saw is you can either make more money or spend less money. And a lot of sustainability is really about spending less money. It doesn't seem like that to some people, especially if you have to invest in new ways of doing things. Mm-hmm. But when you reduce the waste in the system, and our systems are so wasteful, you save money. It's just that simple. And so being able to rethink how you do what you do and do it in a way that you feel good about and that is less wasteful becomes actually very exciting and even addictive to people. Mm-hmm. They just get so excited about the differences that they very specifically and concretely see they can make in their own little areas because everybody understands how they work, and everybody who does any job for any length of time knows there's a better way to do it. I mean, mm-hmm. that's just how we amuse ourselves at work. Yeah. But so rarely are we allowed to actually implement what we have learned about our work. And when you take a sustainable approach, and sustainability is about being green, but it's about reducing waste. It's about so many things. It's about really understanding how you impact the earth, how what you do is taking from or giving back to the earth, and trying to really think about how you can make everything you do an improvement instead of a detriment. Mm-hmm. And it just shifts your thinking in magical ways and practical ways. You become very much more practical. And it pushes things. I mean, the whole issue of Washington having to spend most of their time fundraising, and the people who have money are the people who are going to want something back for that money, and they're people who are vested in the old way of doing things, is a wonderful way of beginning to see how it's a system itself, not necessarily the people in it, that really are pushing and keeping things in a way that doesn't work for people. So much has to change. But when you get outside of that system, or when that system becomes regulated, like maybe we give everybody so much money to run for office and they just have to lump it, that's all they get
right.
anymore, those kinds of changes shift the system. And then all of a sudden people behave differently because they can.
Absolutely. Well, that would be one change that I would vote for in a second. Certainly, you know, the removal of big money from big politics is one of the most important imperatives we face as a culture, it seems to me.
I think so, too. If we really want people to act in a way that they would feel proud of acting instead of how they feel they have to act
right.
in order to just stay in power. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, here's a question for you. I attend the sustainability lectures at UCLA maybe twice a year, and I think this is a fabulous program. It's all built around, I think, a master's degree that somebody can earn in sustainability down there. And normally you don't hear from the students. You hear from speakers who come in and talk for a few minutes at a time from various organizations that have something to say. Now, and here's what I've noticed. So just briefly, so for instance, here's Patagonia, you know, the extremely eco-conscious apparel manufacturer. Now, so, and they go, well, we're doing great. We, you know, we can sell our product for a little bit more than we used to because everybody understands the responsibility that we've taken forwards and back in the supply chain. And the whole concept of making sure there's a living wage, there's no child labor, there's no, you know, harmful dyes or whatever. I mean, we've taken responsibility for every molecule of stuff that's not only goes into building and distributing our product, but kind of life cycle analysis, what's going to happen to it when it gets holes in it and gets people want to start thinking about throwing it away.
Good.
Now, and I would argue that Patagonia, it comes as no surprise to me that a company like Patagonia, with its unbelievably rarefied customer base, can pull something like that off. But then half an hour later, here comes this woman from Mattel, who has, as I recall anyway, 25,000 SKUs. In other words, different types of toys and different types of boxes, 8,000 of which are new this year. So she goes, look, there is a limit to which we can control the supply chain. We can't have eyes and ears in every one of our vendors all over the world when we're coming up with 8,000 new toys every 12 months. And I understand that. So, moreover, you've got things where the consumer doesn't really get all this. The consumer can't be expected to keep his eye on the ball of all of this at the same time anyway. So it seems to me it's not an easy, I guess what I'm saying is that I wouldn't try to oversimplify this. I would think that a sustainable approach to business in the 21st century is an extremely complicated thing. Do you agree or disagree?
Oh, absolutely. And again, it's another, I think, systems issue in a major way. And clothing is really a good example. So many people now are buying clothing where you can get, you know, shirts for $3 and a dress for 10 or 15, and they don't expect to keep it for very long. If they wear it for a season, that's a great thing. And they just buy another. You know, fashion changes so fast anyway that who cares? If you look at what it really costs to have a really well-made shirt, something that really is sustainable, that has quality and that you're going to wear for maybe the rest of your life, instead of $5, you're going to pay $134. Now, where are you going to go? I mean, if you're making a ton of money, you might pay $134. If you're making $15 an hour, you're going to go for the $5 shirt.
Right.
I mean, this is a huge issue, and I don't think that we've really begun to address it. I'm going to be really curious to see what happens with Unilever. they sort of made an aha. There was a movement a few years ago looking at what they call the bottom of the pyramid. And their aha was, oh, my God, there's millions of people there.
Right.
Gee whiz. We
millions,
could sell them something.
Counting?
Yeah, if we could sell them something, we'd be, you know, we'll be rich.
Right.
And, in fact, if you look at Unilever's current vision, they are going to reduce all of their environmental impacts, and I'm grabbing at numbers here. I don't remember exactly what it was, by, say, 30%, because it was a significant amount. And they're going to increase their client base by the same amount.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's going to be interesting to see how they do that. Part of what I see potentially happening is a certain leveling out, because right now we have these huge differences at both ends of the spectrum. We've got a small amount with tons and a whole bunch of people with not much.
Mm-hmm.
If that evens out, then the prices are going to have to even out also. But I think that's part of the growth issue, that there is an evening out. Things move along. They do continue. So there's a progression, but it doesn't have to get bigger or smaller. And, in fact, we might want to keep it, work at keeping it sort of uniform. That would be a different approach to growth, that we've stabilized, we're maintaining without big ups and downs for a while, that could be the thing that we're really looking at. So there are some huge issues. There's just no doubt about it, that we're going to have to deal with it. Yes.
Right.